Okay, we're talking to Silvia Pezzini from the London School of Economics, who's been looking at economic growth and political freedom and the impact of those two on people's enthusiasm for revolution in countries across the world. Silvia, you've been looking at a survey of opinions of people about taste for revolution. Can you tell us what the survey is all about?
Yeah, we have used this survey. It's a large international survey, and it covers over 130,000 people across 61 nations and run in three waves between 1981 and 1997. And the author of the survey claimed it covers about 80% of the world population. We have large countries, we have China, we have India, we have all these three countries and so on. And basically what we look at is the way people answer to a particular question, whether they're revolutionary or not. And the way the structure is, the question is structured is, if you could change, what is your attitude vis-a-vis society, the society we live in? Would you like to change it by revolutionary action, or would you reform it with gradual reforms, or would you valiantly defend it against all subversive forces? So these are clearly three different types of attitude of people. So one is a more revolutionary one, a reformist one, and a conservative one. So we really want to see what makes these people answer the first type of answer. Yes, we want to change society completely by revolutionary action. So we want to see what kind of microeconomic factors for the people, as well as what kind of factors, like institutional factors like freedom and growth in the country, how they affect and whether they do consistently affect and systematically affect the way people answer to this question.
In a nutshell, what have you found?
We have found that the freedom level of the country, as well as economic growth, are powerful determinants of the way people answer to this question. So we find that if you decrease the level of freedom in the country, this will increase, on average, the support for a vote in the same country. And as well, if you increase economic growth in the country, this will decrease the support for a vote. You can see sort of a trade-off between taking away freedoms and giving more economic growth, or the reverse. And you can also define a specific trade-off, giving this certain amount of freedom or taking it back, and giving in return some amount of economic growth.
Now you've also looked at differences between the religion that people are and their attitudes towards revolution.
Yeah, this is something interesting because we find some result that we haven't fully explained yet. We find that on average, Muslims react more strongly to the denial of political freedoms than Christians. We find that on average, Christians are always less revolutionary than the atheists, which is our baseline category. And we find that instead, Muslims in a free country will just be indistinguishable from anybody else. So we'll have a sort of zero support for a vote. But Muslims in a non-free country will have on average 13 or 14% more support for a vote. So this is something it's really, really interesting and puzzling at the same time. And we're trying to investigate more explanations for it, whether they come... It's not really that if they come from a minority religious group, that's not really a powerful factor we've seen, but still the difference remains. We want to investigate more factors, so this is a whole research agenda that is opening up.
Okay, now, so you found that increasing political freedom reduces the enthusiasm for revolution, so does increasing economic growth. Mm-hmm. But there's a trade-off between, which is going to have the most powerful impact?
Well, political freedom has a strong impact, because if you take away 1 degree of freedom on a scale of 1 to 3, so for instance, if you make one country go from the level of the US to the one of Turkey, which is free to partly free, or from Turkey to being North Korea, so partly free to non-free, this is going to decrease your support for revolt in the increase. Sorry, if you take away one level of freedom, this increases your support for revolt by 4%. How much growth do you have to need in order to compensate? You would have to give 14 percentage points more onto the growth rate. So basically, if you were growing at a 1% growth rate, then you would have to grow at 15% growth rate in order to keep the support for revolt unchanged. So this is, of course, feasible, but it's hard to sustain. And it may be what some countries have done, either in the past or at the moment. We can think of China, Saudi Arabia, but clearly it's a hard pattern to sustain. So sooner or later, probably countries have to open up in order to keep the support for revolt down. Of course, here we're talking about preferences which don't map one-to-one into action. So we're talking about one particular aspect of civil conflict. But this is the way we find preferences to move.
Okay, thank you.